Suggs hits the first free throw and make it 70-56. 2:14 to play. Missed on that free throw. Skylar Mays with a three, and he hits it. Makes an 11-point game, 70-59. Here goes Mays down the lane. Finger roll layup is good, and a blocking foul underneath against Ronnie Suggs.
We've got to like what we've done here the last minute or so. We haven't stopped playing. We've got this thing back to where it's single digits again. Who knows what might happen, Chris?
For guys to get it. Double team, ball stripped loose. Days has it. Waters, deep three, right corner. Won't go. Rebound. Pulled down by Smart. Smart flips it out to Waters. Cross-court pass to Mays. Mays will try a three on its way. Count it! 70-65. They cut the lead to five with a minute 37 to go. And big now pass. Missouri wants good a timeout. Waters, pull-up three, top of the key. Good! Tremont Waters. Again, Emmett Williams will be at the line. It's a 71-70 ball game with 2.2 seconds remaining. Williams has the ball in his hands. Crowd on their feet trying to get in his ear. This one is up and bounces around. Count the basket. Tied 71 all. LSU calls a timeout.
Pickett gets it to Geist. He will launch from the backcourt. It was partially blocked. It's no good. And we have free basketball here in Columbia. We go to overtime.
Waters up top right side. Weaves between two defenders. Drives in against Puryear. Now stops. Gives it off to Smart. Smart wants a three. Top of the key. Good! 81-78. Tigers lead by three. Court, pull up jumper, left of the arc, long, no good, rebound, Tremont wow. Waters has it, final seconds, roll off the clock, Tigers win, in overtime.
I think it shows, the guts this team has, how connected we are. Because, playing from behind for that long isn't easy to do. We could have easily wilted, but, we just stayed together, and that's what you have to do on the road.
We'll be talking about that for a while, probably.
Probably not an escape job like that. That was definitely an escape job.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of Boot Up, the LSU Basketball Podcast. Holy cow. Holy cow. What a win. What a win by LSU. By the way, I'm Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics, if you didn't know that by now. And look, like the rest of you, I'm in shock. I was in Missouri for the greatest comeback I've ever seen in person. LSU was down 70-56 with just over 2 minutes left. And I'm sitting there up in press row, me and Sheldon Mickles from The Advocate, the only two LSU beat writers there. And I'm thinking to myself, what the heck am I going to write about for this game? Just what am I going to write about? There's just nothing here for me to turn into a story. And then I got more than I bargained for. holy cow. LSU comes back down 14 with just over 2 minutes left, ties it up, sends it into overtime, and the Tigers go on to win and escape from Columbia, Missouri with one of the greatest comeback wins you'll ever see, that I've ever seen in person. Just an unforgettable day for LSU. And look, I'll be perfectly honest with you. I'm a little flustered right now. It's actually a little more than 24 hours after the game. I'm back home after traveling and kind of getting settled in and spending some time with the family. And, usually when I record these things, I go back and I watch the film again, and I kind of take some notes, and I have an outline of what I want to talk about. I have an outline of where I want to pop in audio clips. Maybe I have an interview to pop one at the end of the show. I go through, I edit everything, clean everything up. That's not going to be today's episode. Today's episode, other than the thing I did at the beginning there, which I've never done anything like that before. I'm not like an audio editing expert, so if there were some issues with it, sorry. I mean, I felt like a game of that proportion deserved something a little bit different at the start of the podcast, so I threw that together as best as I could. But man, this is going to be a different episode because it was a different game. Basically, all that I wanted to do on today's episode of Boot Up is just go back through the comeback. I may touch on at some point in my rambling on how LSU got down by 14, some of the mistakes they made, some of the things they're going to have to clean up. But to me, that's Will Wade's job. Like, he can spend Sunday and Monday going through those mistakes. I'm sure we have a press conference Monday at 5 p.m. after practice. I'm sure he'll lay all that out in full detail, the things that LSU messed up on, the things that he has to fix. But I feel like at this point, you know, just a day after the game, as fans, as a writer that covers it, and look, I'm a fan of the sport too, and I grew up watching basketball, love basketball. As fans of the sport, as fans of the team, I think it's up to us to just enjoy it and to just look at what went right for LSU and enjoy something that we'll probably never see ever again. I mean, I've never seen a 14-point comeback in 2 minutes. The closest thing that I can think of is Duke's comeback against Maryland in, like, was that 2001 or 2002, where they're down 10 at Maryland. Maryland fans start chanting overrated, and then Jay Williams took over. Duke comes back and wins. Well, on Saturday night, it was Skylar Mays doing his best Jason Williams impression. Skylar ran off a 9-0 run by himself, actually scored 11 straight for LSU if you go back one more possession. And so I've gone back and watched it, and just kind of a quick take of what happened, because for Skylar, talking to him after the game in a soundbite that I'll play in a second, the key was to get it to 5. He thought if LSU could get it to about 5 points from the 14 they were at, that they would have a shot. And if they could do it quickly as possible and kind of speed the game up and in that last, you know, two and a half minutes, make it as many possessions as possible, he thought they would have a chance. So 5 was the key number, and Skylar got them there. He scored all 9 to cut it from 14 to 5. And here's basically how it happened. So the first time, and if you've seen this, I'm sure you don't mind me recapping it. If you haven't seen it, go watch the video. It's unbelievable. But the first one, LSU just kind of comes down in transition. Really nice execution of kind of what you would call a late clock situation. In fact, I've seen LSU work on this in practice before. Basically, the point guard dribbles middle. Skylar kind of flows in behind, gets a long three. He sunk it. And to that point, I think LSU was like 4 of 21 from 3. So in a way, they were due. I mean, they had a lot of shots early in the game that kind of rimmed out and, you know, could have gone down, but this one was pure. It went in, so cuts the lead from 14 to 11, and I think this worked in LSU's favor. Will Wade called for a diamond. He called for their diamond and one press. That's a 1-2-1-1 press. They haven't run it much this year. I don't know if I've seen them run it hardly at all. Typically, they'll you know, when they press, they pick up man. They'll do a 1-3-1 in the half court, but they don't do a whole lot of this diamond. But he calls a diamond, and the ref thought he called timeout. You know, diamond, timeout, when you're yelling, kind of sounds the same. Will Wade's, you know, he puts his hands above his head. I'm doing it right now in front of the microphone, as if you can see me like a moron. But he holds his hands up like, you know, diamond. And it sort of looks like he's calling timeout. And so the ref blew his whistle, and not a big thing, right? But it did allow LSU to get its defense set without calling timeout. And it allowed Missouri to kind of think about it. So, you know, at this point, it's still an 11-point game. No big deal for Missouri, right? Well, LSU gets in its diamond, and the diamond, typically when you're pressing late, you want to do one of two things. You want to force a turnover, or you want to force the other team to take a quick shot. And LSU did the latter on this one. Actually, they started to force the latter. They started to force Missouri into a quick shot that turned into a turnover. So the 1-2-1-1, Missouri gets past it. They've got kind of a 2-on-1 break. Kevin Puryear is cutting to the basket, gets a pass from, I think, Pickett. And the pass was just off the mark a little bit. LSU picks it up. Devontae Smart picks it up. Pitches ahead to Skylar. Skylar attacks the rim. Nice little inside-out dribble. Draws the blocking foul on the defender who was inside the restricted area. Skylar finishes. By the way, Skylar's finishing this year has improved drastically. He's finishing around 70% at the rim. None bigger than this one against Missouri, where he buries it, goes and makes the free throw. All of a sudden, it's an 8-point game. 8 points under 2 minutes, still a lot of work for LSU to do. They get back in that diamond press, and this time they force the turnover in the Missouri backcourt. Jordan Geist gets trapped. Darius Days gets a hand on it, tips it, and gets it to Tremont Waters in the corner. Waters takes a quick shot, but it's a good shot. You got to get shots up at this point. And he misses it. And when I saw that miss, I kind of thought, okay, well, that was it. That was the shot. They got the one turnover they're going to get. They got the 1-3 they're going to get. If that goes in, maybe they got a chance. But, you know, that one missed. It's done, right? Well, out of nowhere, here comes Javonte Smart. I mean, I thought it was Emmett Williams at first because of how high he got. But he just absolutely skies for this offensive rebound. Phenomenal play by Smart, whose competitiveness and competitive nature is unbelievable to watch at the end of this game. Go back, and when you're watching the game, I've watched it a couple times now. You could watch it 6 or 7 times and pick up something different every time. Go watch Javonte Smart at the end of this game. Unbelievable competitive spirit between timeouts. Getting this rebound obviously is key among them, but he was barking at Missouri when it was an 8-point game. He's barking at Missouri when it was an 11-point game. He's just so competitive. He never thinks his team is out. He goes up and gets this unbelievable offensive rebound. Almost as impressive as the rebound is the pass that he makes to Tremont Waters as he's falling down with the rebound, kind of an over his head, over his shoulder, no-look pass. He had to throw it because if he wouldn't have, he would have traveled coming down with the rebound. Gets it to Tremont. Tremont looks like he's about to take the shot again, and then a phenomenal pass by Tremont. He goes up for the shot, realizes that Skyler, who's made a couple plays at this point, wide open on the opposite wing, goes up to shoot it, pitches it across. Excellent skip pass to Skyler, who obviously is going to shoot this basketball. And as soon as Skyler shot it, I said, that's in, and we've got a game. And of course, he buried it, and LSU's bench goes crazy. And all of a sudden, it is a 5-point game, which is where Skyler Mays and Will Wade and the entire team wanted to get it. And here's Skyler telling you why.
We were just really trying to break it, like, get it under 5. Because like we did in the Florida State game, you know, when you're up and you see a team making a run, and once they're getting close, you're kind of thinking about it. And we were trying to put them in that type of position. And hope they kind of made that, try to make them make tough choices and just keep giving ourselves a chance.
So if you didn't catch that analogy, Skyler Mays was harkening back to LSU's loss against Florida State in Orlando earlier this year, where LSU was up 9 with I think like 3 minutes left, and then they let the lead slip away. Florida State came back. Kind of the opposite of this game, not quite as dramatic, but LSU had a big lead, let it get away, and don't believe for a second that LSU didn't learn from that. You know, not just how not to blow a lead, which they've gotten better at as the year's grown, but also kind of the mechanics that go into getting back into a game. And I mean, look, they experienced it. They knew when they kind of felt that turning point against Florida State. For Skyler, it was the 5-point mark. And so to get to 5 points against Missouri and to do it as quickly as they did it, I think was as important as anything. When you're down 14 with two minutes and 15 seconds left, there's not really a blueprint for coming back other than the one that LSU put in play last night. But if you're going to do it, time is of the essence, and you got to do it as quickly as possible. And so to get it from 14 with 2:14 left to 5 with 1:41 left, I mean, that's 30 seconds of very, very effective comeback basketball. So at this point, it's kind of a normal game. Like, it's the comeback has already sort of happened, and now it's just a normal game where it's a 1 or 2 possession game laid on the road in the SEC, and so now you've got to execute. And so LSU comes back out in the diamond, gets a good trap on Geist. He gets fouled, but he goes to the line and makes the first free throw. And then another little tidbit that I love. I was talking about Javonte Smart and his competitiveness earlier. Go back to listen to the second Geist free throw. You can hear Javonte Smart. You can see him say something to Geist right before he shoots it. Geist kind of looks at him, makes a face. And then you can hear Javonte Smart as Geist is shooting it saying, you know, hey, make sure you get shooter, talking to Skyler Mays. And hey, I got your help, Naz. I mean, you can really, really hear him coming through the microphones in a very quiet arena. And Geist misses. Now, you know, I don't know if Smart talking had anything to do with that, but it just kind of shows you that gamesmanship and that maturity. I mean, that's a heady move by a young player, kind of getting in the opponent's ear and making sure that he's got as much pressure on him as possible as he's shooting that free throw. But Geist misses. LSU comes down on the other end. And Tremont Waters promptly sticks one in Geis' eye, a pull-up three that cuts it to three with still more than a minute left. In fact, there were 1:19 left on the clock, and all of a sudden it's a three-point game, and LSU is very much in this thing, and Mizzou Arena is very tight and tense. On the very next possession, Missouri comes down, they run some clock, they kind of beat the LSU trap. LSU drops back into a solid man, which they can afford to do at this point. It's a three-point game, it's a one-possession game with you know, just under a minute left. You got time to sit back and a man-to-man. LSU does that. Tremont Waters does a phenomenal job late in the shot clock, sliding his feet, cutting off the driving angle, forces a turnover. LSU sprints the other way. Skyler Mays gets off a three. It's short, but Naz Reid does a great job of, you know, this is something I've noticed with Naz this year. I've been wanting him to play lower. He's such a big guy that kind of grew late in his career that I don't think he's used to playing low. He's always been able to play above everybody. But at this level, when everyone's kind of equal size, the low man usually wins. Like, look at Glenn Big Baby Davis. His LSU career was built on being the low man, establishing leverage and establishing position. Naz does a great job of getting into the legs of, I think it was Tillman for Missouri, and drawing a foul on the miss from Skyler Mays. He kind of got tossed to the floor. Naz did a good job of selling it. There wasn't as much contact as Naz sold, I don't think. But regardless, Naz went down hard to the floor after establishing low position, getting in a great position, putting himself in a position to make a play, and picks up the foul, and then steps up to the line and buries the free throws. Just absolutely stone cold. Naz was 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He was 4 of 4 in the final minute of regulation and overtime combined. So a freshman stepping up on the biggest of stages, knocks down two free throws, and now it's a one-point game. And LSU goes the other way, gets another stop. Now, this stop was interesting because Missouri advanced the ball into the half court. They call timeout, and LSU comes out in a 1-3-1 trap, or 1-3-1 zone, really, that they haven't used much all season. They use it toward the end of the first half to some success against Missouri when they kind of came back and tied it up at the end of the first half. Didn't use it as much in the second half, and I think that in this diamond zone trap that they were using in the front court, probably would have dropped back to a 1-3-1, but they never really had to. Well, this is the first time they had to kind of sit in the half court. They sit in this 1-3-1. Emmett Williams is at the top. It almost looks like a man because Missouri's so static, but Jordan Geist, Missouri's point guard, handling the ball up top. Emmett Williams looked kind of one-on-one with him. They force him into a long jumper that misses. Javonte Smart, of course, comes up with the big rebound here to set up the dramatic finale. But I thought this 1-3-1 zone was effective for LSU, and they came back and used it in overtime a little bit. Will Wade talked about it a little bit in the post game, both with the LSU Sports Radio Network, which is the audio that I'm about to play, and then also in the post game media scrum, the media press conference, where he talked about the fact that LSU's used it only like 6 or 7 times all year, and it's not been very good for them. But they figured it would work in this game against Missouri in spots because Missouri's had a little bit of trouble with pressure. Here he is talking about that very, very briefly on the LSU Sports Radio Network.
We did a good job in the press. You know, the 1-3-1 really helped us. We had not played that 1-3-1 much. We had not played it much all season, and I thought that really helped us and helped us set the tone with things. So
it worked in a big spot there. Javonte Smart, like I said, comes up with a huge rebound, pitches ahead to Tremont Waters, and Will Wade doesn't call timeout. And, you know, I think if you talk to just about any basketball coach, they'll tell you that you don't call timeout there. You don't let the defense get set. You've got the momentum. You go ahead and let things play out. Tremont Waters gets a great look, drives to his right, gets a good look up off the glass, doesn't hit it, but Emmett Williams, who's already made a couple big plays in this game, contesting that guy's shot, he had a big rebound off guy's missed free throw, just absolutely works his tail off to get in a position to get an offensive rebound. And again, picks up a foul away from the ball and steps up to the line for two just massive free throws. LSU's down one, 2.2 seconds left. The arena is deafeningly loud, just absolutely ear-piercingly loud. And he misses the first. And at that point, I'll be honest, I was a little nervous. I was thinking that LSU's luck had run its course. That wasn't the first time I thought that in the game. And Will Wade actually talked about that a little bit after the game, how difficult it is to come back after you miss that first one and step up and do what Emmett Williams did, and that's make the second one to force overtime. possessions.
Offensive rebounds he had. I mean, this place, I thought the roof was going to come off this place. And it's really hard when you miss that first one. It's hard to make that second one now. That is hard to do, but he rattled that thing in.
You know, I said just before that audio clip that I was, after Williams missed the first one, I was a little bit nervous. But I go back to a moment. I was really watching Emmett before he stepped up to take those free throws. He kind of went to the end of the bench. I think he was getting his contact replaced or getting a new contact in from the trainer, Sean Eddy. And Will kind of said a couple things to him. And he was just exuding confidence, Emmett. And not like false confidence either. Like you see this sometimes in college basketball, especially with young guys, that they get to a big moment and you can see them sort of beat their chest and they're trying to hype themselves up. And it's, you can tell there's nerves underneath it. And I'm sure Emmett had his fair share of nerves, but there was nothing false about his confidence. He thought he was going to step up and knock down both free throws. He missed the first. The second one tantalizingly rolls around the rim before falling in. LSU, Tremont Waters, I think, tips Geist, kind of heave to try to tie it up, and it goes into overtime. And at that point, Will Wade was feeling pretty good about where his team was.
You feel good. I mean, the team that forces overtime wins 72% of the time. The team that comes back and forces, it's hard to turn that momentum. Now, we made a mistake on that first possession and rotated through and gave up the three. So, you know, you worry about that a little bit. But once you forced overtime, you felt good. Now, we had a little bit of foul trouble. We had two kids fouled out. We have a short bench. We only play eight guys. You know, we were close to throwing in one of our walk-ons, who's a good player and can help us. But I was just mainly worried about the foul trouble. Then, at the four-minute mark, I think 4:18 or something like that, Nas picked up his fourth foul down there battling with Tillman. And so if he'd have gone out, we'd have had some major issues.
If you caught it there when Will Wade was talking about giving up that first three in overtime, he was sitting next to Javonte Smart in the postgame press conference, kind of elbowed him. So he's kind of giving his freshman a hard time. I think maybe Javonte was responsible on the three-pointer that Missouri hit to start overtime that put them up three, but he more than made up for it. Javonte came up with two absolutely clutch threes, not for the first time this year. I'm kind of freestyling off the top of my head, but there's a game earlier this year where LSU needed a couple big shots late. Javonte had not been playing well. Maybe it was the Arkansas game on the road. I believe in that overtime game, Javonte stepped up and hit a couple big threes late, and he certainly did so again on Saturday at Missouri. The first one was, I believe, let me pull up the play-by-play here. That's right, Skyler got – so Missouri comes out, hits a three to start overtime. Emmett Williams comes back on the other end, gets a big dunk. Tillman hits a couple free throws for Missouri. Skyler answers with a dunk, and all of a sudden LSU's trailing by one, so they've kind of negated that three-pointer. And then here comes Javonte Smart with 2:42 left. He steps into a three-pointer, bangs it home, and then with 1:50 left after an offensive rebound, he hits another three. The first three turned a one-point deficit for LSU into a two-point lead, kind of giving their first lead of this whole comeback, and their first lead certainly in a while in the game. And then the second one broke open a 78-78 tie and really felt like a backbreaker for the rest of the game. It felt like at that point the game was over, and it was. It was the last field goal of the game. Naz Reid ended up making a couple free throws to push it out to five. After Missouri came down and hit a layup, Skyler Mays answered and hit two free throws, and then Tremont Waters added one at the end for the win. So that's kind of my blow-by-blow recap. I'm sorry if it was tedious. I think it was worth reliving. If you haven't gone back and watched the film, it's unbelievable. Actually, LSU basketball tweeted a video, and I put it on my Instagram a little bit later. You can see the win probability as the game is going on with each play. And it starts with Skyler's three from cutting it from 70-56 to 70-59. And at that point, Missouri had a 99.8% chance. The video says 99.7, but I've seen on KenPom and on ESPN 99.8. A 99.8% chance of winning the game, which means LSU had a less than 1% chance, a 0.02% chance of winning the game. Now, I point that out for a couple of reasons. One, it shows you the magnitude of the comeback. Two, maybe just as crazy as the result of the game is Will Wade's answer in the post-game press conference. It may have been in his opening statement. I don't even remember exactly the context of it, but he basically said, you know what, I'll go ahead and let you play I'll play the audio. He basically said these kinds of things don't happen often, and then he throws a number out there. And I'll tell you why that's absolutely crazy in a second after this audio plays.
I mean, that happens, you know, one out of a, you know, 500 times maybe. I mean, that may be being generous.
It's not being generous. One in 500 times is exactly the percentage that ESPN and KenPom forecasted LSU's chance of coming back. 0.02%. That's one in 500 or two in 1,000. That's unbelievable. I mean, Will Wade has a number for everything. Like you heard earlier, 72% of the time, the team that forces overtime wins overtime. He does have a number for everything, and he knows this stuff off the top of his head. He's as smart as a guy as I've ever been around. But to get that right, like, I don't know if that's sheer luck. I don't know if he actually knew the percentages, if he crunched the numbers in the game. But regardless, it's almost as amazing as what was an incredible comeback. Okay, look, I'm looking at the top, the time here. I'm 25 minutes into this podcast. It's 11:39 at night. I wanted to get this out for Monday morning. I'm not going to talk about Texas A&M. I'm going to let Will Wade do that tomorrow on Monday. You're probably listening to this on Monday. So Monday afternoon, Will Wade's going to talk with the media. I'm pretty sure he'll come out and he'll be asked a lot about the comeback. He won't want to talk about it. He's going to want to talk about Texas A&M because LSU does have a lot of stuff to clean up. Falling behind by 14 to Missouri was not great. There's some things they got to fix. They got to finish better at the rim. Their shot selection needs to improve. They've got to defend better than they did for most of that second half. They won't be able to throw out that 1-3-1 and that diamond press to generate stops. They're going to have to sit down and guard a little bit better. So all those things are things LSU is going to have to fix. And by the way, Texas A&M just beat Kansas State in the SEC Big 12 Challenge, and Kansas State is competing for a Big 12 title right now. So this is not a joke. This is a difficult team and a difficult venue, and LSU is going to have to go play well on the road. But I'm not going to talk about any of that stuff right now because I'm tired. I am going to instead finish up this podcast here, and we'll come back later in the week with probably with an episode after the Texas A&M game. Hopefully one that doesn't require quite the comeback that LSU had, but look, what a comeback it was. One for the record books. I've never seen anything quite like it. And I'm officially out of words. If you want any more words from me on that comeback, go to lsusports.net. I have a story up from right after the game. I'm very fortunate that I was able to be there. I'm very grateful that I was able to go on this trip with the team and experience it. I guess I'll end on this. I'll end on, you know, we talked about the comeback. We talked about, you know, the mechanics that went into it, the 1-3-1 and in the press and Skylar May's heroics. But I think the thing that I'll remember most about this is just the personalities of the guys and the ways they celebrated after the game. This is a special group. You know, the way that Javonte Smart competed late, the way that Emmett Williams competed late, Darius Days coming up with big plays, you know, even guys that weren't in the game, they were so engaged on the bench that the two guys that are redshirting, Cooper and Hyatt, I mean, I saw them before the game working out in the pool, getting in a workout the day of the game because around LSU, no one gets a free lunch, and those guys were grinding, and then they're on the bench boosting up their teammates in the game. You know, I'll just remember that the most, the personality of this team, particularly a guy like Skylar Mays, who, if you know anything about Skylar, he's just the hardest working kid there is. He's the best young man that you'll ever be around. He just works so hard. He's got the right mentality about things. He makes straight A's. He's always in the gym. You know, I tweeted a video of him before the game going through his pregame routine. He's dribbling three basketballs at once. I mean, he works so, so hard. And, you know, to bring it to a spot that's tough to talk about sometimes, Skylar was the best friend of Wade Sims, who we lost before this year in tragedy. And so, you know, as that was kind of happening, and I'm looking down there at Skylar Mays having the game of his life, I'm thinking about Wade Sims smiling down on him. And it was a special moment. It was a special moment because Skylar deserved that. He's worked for it. He's gonna appreciate it. He's been through hell before this season, and so no lead is gonna be too tough for him. No obstacle is gonna be too tough for him to overcome. And he's gonna approach things the right way. It was just a special moment for that team, special moment for everybody around LSU basketball. So it's one that I won't forget anytime soon. Like I said, I'm just privileged and honored to have been there. I'm sure you guys all enjoyed you guys and you gals all enjoyed taking it on TV. It was special to take in person. So I'll leave the coaching to Will Wade. I'll let him break down all the things that LSU's got to fix in the meantime before they take on Texas A&M. That game's on the road on Wednesday, so I don't think I'll be traveling to that one. I think I'll be taking that one in from my couch and hope it's a little bit less dramatic. So I'll come back after that game. We'll recap that one on Thursday or Friday. Hopefully get an interview with the player to pop on and have a much more normal podcast after hopefully a much more normal win for LSU. But until then, thanks for listening, and boot up.